Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
A follow-up to Tom Hoge, who's leading on the PGA Tour at the American Express out in La Quinta, California. Hoge was born in North Carolina, lives in Fargo, and checking out the Wikipedia, and I know you got to take that with a grain of salt, but we did get a text to the studio, and I know he had ties to the area, but he won the Minnesota State Amateur, according to the text, in 09 and 10. So he has played in the upper Midwest, lives in Fargo, and right now leading on the PGA Tour at the American Express out in California. They'll be at the Farmers Insurance Open in San Diego next week at the legendary Torrey Pines, a set of U.S. Opens, and the annual Farmers Insurance Open. San Diego, lovely part of the world, and we're going to go there. Scott Miller joins us, covered the major leagues for a long time. Once upon a time, the Twins for the Pioneer Press. Scott, how you been? Scott?
Steve, I'm sorry. You know, I think we're cutting in and out a little bit. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I think we're good. Can you hear me?
Okay, good. I can. You were cutting out before we came on, so I didn't know if it was my cell, but nice to be with you again.
Yeah, good to visit with you, Scott. And I was just talking a little golf right now. PGA Tour in the Palm Springs area. Tom Hoge from Fargo is leading that event. And then we said next week on the PGA Tour, they go to Torrey Pines. And the visuals from Torrey Pines, and I guess that's suburban San Diego, La Jolla to be exact, the visuals are spectacular.
Yeah, they are. I've never played that course, but it is absolutely breathtaking right there overlooking the Pacific Ocean. You know, it's usually pretty nice this time of year in particular, you know, and plus it's got the added advantage of, you know, be one of the few parts of the country, obviously, that you can play golf at this time of year. But it's always a big week when the PGA event comes to Torrey Pines.
Yeah, for sure. And the U.S. Opens, Tiger's done very well. Tiger won't play, of course, still recovering. But nevertheless, beautiful visuals from Torrey Pines next week as the PGA Tour stops. And I've heard you show up in San Diego, and if you can get a tee time, it's not a private club; it's a public course, so you can tee it up there. You should put it on your calendar, Scott.
You're right about that. I think that is true. It's really hard to get on, as you can imagine.
Yeah, I suppose.
But it is a public course, so I don't remember what the hoops you have to jump through are. I think it's some crazy thing where, I don't think it's that far out in advance. It might be only a week or two out, but it's like, you know, something along the lines of to get a tee time for next week, or say 2 weeks from now, you got to get online like something very specific, like say next Wednesday at 6 a.m. it opens up, and then it's like first come first serve, whoever can, you know, be online at 6 a.m. on a Wednesday to grab a spot for the following week. And as you can imagine, it's kind of like, you know, those of us of a certain age, when you used to try to buy tickets to some rock concert, you know, and all of a sudden you got like 5 minutes and then it's sold out.
Yeah, exactly. Or you got to sleep on the sidewalk overnight. I did that one time outside the old St. Paul Civic Center to see U2 on the Joshua Tree tour. That goes back so far. Yeah. My girlfriend at the time, now wife, we slept outside the Civic Center to get tickets. And the crazy thing, and this is a great story, so I'm going to bore you with it,
that's
Scott.
That's good stuff, though. So, what year was that?
Well, I can't. I'd have to look it up, but we weren't married. It was a Joshua Tree tour, St. Paul Civic Center, and we got there, and I was there with my brother and some of his buddies, and it was a lot of fun. But here's the story. We ended up falling asleep. A bunch of people jumped the line. By the time we got into the lobby of the Civic Center, this is before online sales, of course.
Right, sure.
And we get into the lobby. The first show was already sold out. And we're like, we slept outside all night. We get into the lobby. The show is sold out. But there were rumors circulating that U2 was going to add a second show. So we loitered in the lobby. And we were right there and got phenomenal seats for the second night. So it all worked out. But
that's a great story.
Yeah. So and we were like 10th row, main floor, and the Bodines warmed up for U2. So anyway.
That's awesome.
Yeah, but getting back to tee times, and you talk about Torrey Pines, another public course, Bethpage State Park, In New York, where they've had some U.S. Open, I think PGA is coming or has been at Bethpage. Anyway, that is another one where you've got to get there and literally sleep in your car and get in line and hope to get a tee time to play it at Bethpage, another major championship venue but public course. Anyway, I'm sure Major League fans would love to wait in line and see a spring training game in Arizona or Florida. Scott, what's your read on it right now, the lockout, where it stands here on January 22nd? Oh, we lost Scott. All right. Yeah, why don't we take a break right now, Kerry, while we try and get a hold of Scott, because it sounded like his cell reception wasn't that great. We'll take a break right now. We'll try and come back and visit with Scott Miller, who's covered the major leagues for a long time, find out where we're at. With the Major League lockout in a moment here on News Talk, E3OWCCO. 5:15, we are back. Just to clarify on the U2 show, it was 1987, and the dates were November 3rd and November 4th at the St. Paul Civic Center. Of course, we missed tickets for the first show, even though we slept on the sidewalk outside the Civic Center all night. But we did get great seats for the second show on November 3rd to clear that up. Scott Miller is back from San Diego. He's covered the major leagues for a long time. All right, so we got that out of the way. 1987.
Yeah, so, great stuff. What were the dates again?
Yeah, November 3rd and 4th. You'll get a kick out of this. On the 28th and 29th and 30th, they were at the Rosemont Horizon in suburban Chicago, out there by O'Hare. And then on the 1st, U2 was at the Hoosier Dome in Indianapolis. Then they came to St. Paul for two dates. And then right after that, they went to McNichols Arena in Denver.
Denver, yeah.
Yeah, how about that?
To play there, yeah. Also, those dates, you were that was in the immediate aftermath. You and everybody in the Twin Cities. And as you slept overnight for that U2 show, you were basking in the aftermath of the Twins World Series Championship. That was right after that. That's right.
The guy Eddie DeHerbeck and the Twins are world champions. Good times for sure.
Yeah,
really here in the Twin Cities. Yeah. And by the way, I don't know if you heard, Scott, you covered the Twins for a long time, but Ron Gardenhire, Dan Gladden, of course, longtime player, part of two world championship teams, and longtime Twins radio broadcaster, are going into the Twins Hall of Fame, along with Cesar Tovar, of course, who played all nine positions way back in the day for the Twins and was a a part of those great Twins teams in the 60s. They're all going into the Twins Hall of Fame this summer.
I did hear that. Yeah, no question. I mean, obviously, I stay pretty plugged in with all 30 teams, and especially the Twins, having lived there and spent 6 years covering them. And I tweeted, in fact, after that this week, and I meant it on Twitter. I got a little bit of blowback, but that happens every – you could tweet the sky is blue and the grass is green, and you're going to get a certain percentage of people on Twitter to tell you you're a moron and you're wrong. But what I tweeted was, you know, I tweeted the Twins Hall of Fame announcement. I said, hey, these three guys, you know, Gardy and Cesar Tovar and Dan Glanton are going to the Twins Hall of Fame. They just announced it. And I said, the Twins do as good of a job as anybody in baseball incorporating their history into present day. And I said, don't get me wrong, this is on Twitter. I said, you know, there are other teams that are very good too, like the Yankees and the Cardinals, but nobody does it better than the Twins. Of course, I got some Yankee people saying, oh, the Yankees have Monument Park. I mean, you got to be kidding me, you know, but I meant it. I mean, the Twins are right there with the Yankees, the Cardinals. Detroit does a nice job, but nobody is better than Minnesota at incorporating and weaving the great, rich history of the Twins, the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, on up into present day. They do a beautiful job.
Yeah. So Gardy, Glanton, and Tovar this summer, August weekend series against the Texas Rangers. And Scott, before the break, we threw it out there, and let's get right into the meat of it. The lockout continues. Where do things stand? What are you hearing right now?
Well, I'd like to see a lot more of a sense of urgency. There has not been a sense of urgency. You might have noticed that. And you also might have noticed we're not that far from when spring training should be starting, about a month away. So the players and owners, the players are due to make a counterproposal to the owners, and they're going to meet in person in New York on Monday. Now, for my money, they ought to meet in person, and somebody should lock the room and not let either side out until they reach a deal. I doubt if that's going to happen, but I like that they're meeting face-to-face. You know, that's way better than Zoom. They're going to get a lot more done. I just hope that both sides realize we got to get this figured out. And so I think it's a good sign that they're going to be face-to-face meetings on Monday. I don't know how much urgency there will be yet, simply because what I've been told by some ownership sources from that perspective, pitchers and catchers are due a report around February 16th. So I think management, owner types, are looking at, in order to get spring training started on time, the 16th or so, they'd have to have a deal done by somewhere around February 7th or 8th, because there's got to be a week or so in which players can finish up their business at home, pack, and get to spring training sites. Players coming in from Latin American countries need to have their visas squared away. So that's the urgent point to me. If spring training is going to start on time, big if right now, February 6th, 7th, 8th is the drop-dead date when a deal's got to be done. Now, I don't think either the negotiations are far enough down the road where I'm comfortable there'll be a deal by February 6th, 7th, or 8th. But at least if they can get real close by then, you know, maybe we can get away with spring training starts a little bit late, but not too late. I hope that's the worst-case scenario, because I'd shudder to think of any other worst-case scenarios.
We've talked a lot about this. A lot of people who are very close to the game kind of know the big issues. In your opinion at this moment, what is the biggest stumbling block between the owners and players in getting a deal done?
Well, I think it's getting younger players paid more than they are, because the owners seem pretty set. Free agency's kind of withered on the vine for all but the superstars like a Max Scherzer or a Manny Machado. There's so many of the average major leaguer, let's say, that once you turn 30, analytics shows you begin to decline. So teams have not wanted to, they've squeezed free agents. So the players are basically saying, look, we've always been underpaid early until we can get to arbitration and free agency. Now, if you're going to underpay us early and then you're not going to pay us in free agency, we got a problem. So they're going to have to figure out a way to move the money around so that younger players get paid if older players are not going to get paid. That's the biggest thing. And then I think the competitive integrity of the game, you know, the way that it's drawn up right now, you know, the players, one of their chief concerns is, you know, all of the tanking that's gone on. You know, I mean, the Baltimore Orioles, for example, have been unwatchable for about 3 years now. You know, every year you've got four or five teams now that strip down and basically are a glorified minor league team. They're non-competitive while they rebuild. And, you know, everybody, including the owners, should recognize that really damages the integrity of the game. And so the players would like to see some things done, you know, maybe with the draft, where kind of like the NBA, pick a number, maybe the seven or eight teams with the worst record go into a lottery, and then it's draft orders pulled out from there. In other words, that would help discourage teams like we've seen over the past 10 or 15 years. The Houston Astros did it. The Cubs did it. You know, now Baltimore's done it. Detroit did it, where you strip down and try to get the first number one draft choice. So those are a couple of the biggest issues they've got to hammer out, Steve.
And is there a line in the sand, if you will, with the players and owners? Because you hear a lot of different things. Well, it's like that service time. They've got to do something about the games that are be playing with service time. And I think Twins fans can relate to this, where it's kind of like you hear about these kids in the minor leagues and they have a good spring training, and then they're not called up, or they don't start the year with the big club. They don't come north, so to speak. I would think some of that's got to be fixed as well, that the players are just going to demand that they can't keep someone down on the farm who, by in all reality, should be in the major leagues, just as they try to protect some service time.
Yeah, no doubt. That's another big issue. And, you know, that ties in with the finances, too.
Sure. So
they manipulate the service time to delay the free agency an extra year. And basically what the owners could do by keeping a player who should be in the majors down, you're delaying not only his free agency and keeping him another year, but you're also short term. You're not, you know, the clubs recognize whenever the kid does hit the majors, we don't have to pay him all that much. So that all ties in with the finances of it. And that is also, it also ties in with the competitive integrity of the game, because in a perfect world, I understand some business, but I mean, the rules of the game ought to be designed so that all 30 teams come out of spring training with what they think is the very best, most competitive team they can field. Now what you have is, a few years ago, the most famous example of what you just said late recently is Chris Bryant, right, of the Cubs. He was a huge prospect, had a great spring. Everybody agreed he should be starting, opening day starter at third base for the Cubs. And they sent him to the minors, and they didn't call him up until like April 27th or so, because they wanted to wait to manipulate that service time. So, yeah, that is also something that's got to be figured out.
One thing I wanted to bring up before we run out of time, Scott, is AAA is going to see robo-umpires, balls and strikes, in a number of AAA cities. Step closer to the major league. What's your read on that?
Yeah, I think we're going to see robo-umps. In other words, the automated strike zone at home plate. We're going to see that in the major leagues, I think, within the next year or two. I think it's getting real close. Everybody moans and groans, and by everybody I mean fans. You can't watch a game anymore now that every TV broadcast has that strike zone box on the TV.
They should ditch that.
Yeah, fans, it's like every fourth or fifth pitch, you got fans griping about the home plate ump missed that, and it's become such a point of contention that I think even the umpires eventually are going to throw up their hands and say, fine, we're happy there's an automated strike zone, because, the box you see on TV is not completely fair because it doesn't change sizes. So if you've got a 6'8" Aaron Judge at the plate or a 5'6" Jose Altuve, the box is about the same size for both of those guys. Well, so in other words, you're not getting a true read of the strike zone on your telecast. You're getting a lot of it right, but there are a lot of pitches on the fringes of the strike zone that people see on TV say, oh, the umpire missed that one. When, no, he didn't. It's just the strike zone box isn't completely accurate.
Well, and Scott, there's an idea in all of this, and I've been thinking about it, and I want to run it by you because you've covered the game for a long time. As we move to an automated strike zone, okay, if they can program that and they have the technology, then you measure a strike zone for an Aaron Judge. So it's the letters to the knees and the width of the plate. Or Jose Altuve, they have different strike zones. Make the computer call the strike zone so every player knows that they're going to deal with. You just don't see high strikes called. And if you want to move the game around and you want guys trying to put the ball in play and up there hacking, if you will, like they did in the old days, change that strike zone. So Aaron Judge isn't looking at a strike zone the size of a dinner plate. I think
totally
that would be a good
100%.
Fix.
100%. Bigger, call the strike zone the way it is in the rule book. That should be the way it is. They do, by the way, adjust the automated strike zone for each player, so that part is going to be good.
Good.
But I hope they call the high strike.
Yeah, absolutely, because it's all about, once again, balls and plays. I would, and you and I have talked about it. I would much rather see a couple of triples. Take away a home run, give me a triple every time.
100%, absolutely. They've got to. That's one of the biggest things. They've got to figure out a way to get more balls in play. No doubt about it.
I know you got to run, Scott. Thanks for the time.
All right, Steve. Thank you. Great talking to you. Take care.
There he is, Scott Miller. He's covered the major leagues for a long time. And it's always good enough to join us here on News Talk E3O WCCO. It is 5:30. We've got the weather coming up. Snow today, then it'll quiet down. It'll be a chilly Sunday, and then snow again tomorrow night. We will continue in a moment here on News Talk E3O WCCO. Good news in the border battle if you're a Golden Gopher fan. Minnesota leading number one Wisconsin 4-2 at Ritter Arena. They're in the third. Minnesota took game one, 2-1. The Badgers' second loss of the season. Both of those have come at the hands of the Golden Gophers. Minnesota might get them again. Updated score now, 4-3 Minnesota in the third at Ritter Arena. Golden Gopher men's hockey. They're at Michigan. They beat the Wolverines 2-1 in overtime. It is Hockey Day, Minnesota. And Blakesley Stadium in Mankato is ground zero. And then, of course, they'll close it out with a wild game at the X, the Chicago Blackhawks. And Dame Mizutani from the Pioneer Press, good enough to join us online at TwinCities.com. Dane, good to visit with you on this hockey day.
You too, Steve. How you doing?
Yeah, and tip of the cap to the fans outside in the cold and snow in Mankato today.
Yeah, awesome day as always, Hockey Day Minnesota. But Mankato really brought it this year. They did kind of a two-night thing, almost a week-long thing, getting people from the community involved, and there were high school games last night, and obviously the spectacle of it today. So, awesome to see always, and not really a surprise. Wherever Hockey Day Minnesota ends up, I feel like the town always shows up in droves.
Well, and it's one of those things. Fox Sports North and now Bally Sports North and the Minnesota Wild have really gotten behind this thing, and it is a huge deal here in January. All the communities, I think of all the amazing settings, and Blakesley Stadium in Mankato is cool, a tip of the cap to Southern Minnesota, and word is it'll be at White Bear Lake next year. I don't know if that's been officially announced, but I've seen that floating around on Twitter today. So whether it's in the metro or outside of the metro, you're right. Those communities really step up and put on an amazing show. I mean, whether it was in Duluth on the lakefront, I remember in Elk River at that park in Elk River, kind of down in that natural bowl, was just phenomenal. Or out on a lake, it's just always a cool show and a great job to the folks at Bally Sports North. Minnesota Wild are a big part of it.
Yeah, it's really awesome to see, and the fact that it goes throughout the whole state, right? Like, it's not just stick to the metro and stick to the Twin Cities. No, it's everywhere. It's been everywhere. I remember that year up in Baudette. I think it was like -25. So it's just you get to see the whole state, and the whole state gets to see kind of that spectacle. So certainly a cool thing.
Yeah, and they put a lot into it. Once again, a good job by Mankato, and no worries on ice conditions today. Certainly was a outdoor hockey day for sure. They always close it out with a Wild game, and they get the Blackhawks for the second night. A big win for the Wild, Dane, and after that weird stretch where they dropped a couple of games out west to the Kings and to the Vegas Golden Knights, and then COVID started to settle in, and they played poorly against Buffalo, and then more games were dumped, and then the league shut down. You felt like, what's happened to this season? It was so promising. They were flying high atop the Central Division, and then that pause. Well, frankly, the Wild have got right back at it. They've been playing well as of late.
Yeah, for sure. And you mentioned the losing streak they were on before the stoppage, and then to come out of that stoppage, and you have this awesome event, the Winter Classic, and the Wild basically didn't show up in that one. It's a little understandable. They were 12 days off going into that Winter Classic, so the rust was obvious. But like you said, the way that they've been able to bounce back from that really, really poor showing, and everyone on the Wild would agree that they were embarrassed. Like, they had 40,000 fans freezing their butts off in the stands at Target Field, and the Wild got blown out. So the fact that they were able to kind of get back on the horse, and they've been rolling ever since. I mean, at the points in every game since then, you know, just finding ways to win. But also, a lot, like, you know, last night, not just finding ways to win, they're back to dominating again. And, you know, dominating teams, they should dominate. The Blackhawks, they're not the team that they used to be, and that's very obvious. Well, it was super obvious last night with the way the Wild controlled the game from the onset. And it was good to see, because, like you said, before the stoppage, before everything got a little bit weird, the team looked like a legitimate Stanley Cup contender. Then everything starts to kind of go a little haywire, and you wonder, can this team figure it out? Can this team find it? Well, they have. They look great. But I will be expecting an angry Chicago Blackhawks team coming into the XL Energy Center tonight. A lot of pride on that team still, even if they don't look the same. Jonathan Toews and Patrick Kane probably have something to say about that 5-1 defeat yesterday.
Yeah, late start tonight, 8 o'clock in downtown St. Paul. And then Montreal comes to town. Their lone visit of the season on Monday in St. Paul. Then a trip to New York. They'll get the Rangers and the Islanders. And then a very interesting February coming up as they try and make up some lost ground. And the middle of February is going to be hectic, to say the least. Games coming every other day.
Yeah, it's insane. It's like last year all over again. But, you know, last year was a 56-game schedule. This is an 82-game schedule. That sure feels like a condensed 56-game schedule. I think I did the math, and it's 40 games starting February 12th, which is when the makeup games really start to come in. It's a February 12th home game against the Carolina Panthers. From that day forward, the Wild play 40 games in 77 days. So that's just insane. That's averages out to more than a game every other day. That's back-to-backs. That's basically no rest in between. You're either playing or you're off the day. I would say they don't practice a ton over that stretch. But it's really going to test the guys. And the players are saying all the right things. Dean Evans has been saying all the right things. Like, we'd rather play hockey games than practice. But I would worry, you know, are they going to be worn out come playoff time? Because this is a playoff team as far as I'm concerned. I think they're one of the better teams in the West. But, man, 40 games in 77 nights.
Yeah.
You wonder what that's going to do to a team down the stretch.
Yeah, and Dane, do you have a sense from the NHL that you know they're going to extend this flexibility where you're going to have to move players in and out of the lineup, that you're going to have to lean maybe on some kids from Iowa that typically aren't in the lineup to get through this stretch?
Yeah, the taxi squad's in place through the All-Star break, I think. So I wouldn't be surprised if they just extend that.
Yeah.
It's been a useful tool for the Wild, and for, I would say every team in the league over the past month or so, you know, with the Omicron variant kind of running rampant still, to have not just players that can play, but players that are right there with you practicing, readily available if they're needed. You don't have to call down and send a car to Iowa or figure out travel arrangements, how to get this player to, you know, to point from point A to point B if you're on the road. The taxi squads are beneficial. I would be shocked if they go away with them after the All-Star break. Yeah. I think these are here to stay, and I think they should be because it's such a weird year. Why not have a couple extra bodies, you know, for teams to use as we try and cram in, you know, what feels like a million games in a short amount of time?
Right. The only good news in all of this, every club's in the same boat. So, you know, there's no distinct advantage for one club over the other. The only thing I would argue is those Eastern Conference teams have much easier travel than the teams out west. But I don't know what you can do about that at this point.
Yeah, it's, you know, like you said, everyone has to play the game.
Yep.
There are some teams, I think with the Wild, probably hit the short end of the stick as far as the amount of games they have to play and the amount of time. Some teams kind of have more of a regular schedule the second half of the year, whereas the Wild are compacting so many games in. But at the end of the day, you got to play 82 games. Every team in the league has to play 82 games. And you know, no one's going to feel sorry for the Wild if they have to play a couple back-to-backs here and there. You know, everyone's trying to gun down these playoff spots. So, you know, it's game on right now from here on out.
Dane Mizutani joining us, covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. Dane, the goaltending situation, Kaapo Kähkönen, you got to give him high marks for what he's done.
Yeah, he's been awesome. And I'll be honest, like, I wasn't sure how this stretch was going to go for the Wild. Cam Talbot gets injured in the Winter Classic. That's right around the time that, you know, it seemed like the wheels were falling off, as we talked about earlier in our conversation. Then you lose Cam Talbot. You're wondering, okay, is this thing going to spiral out of control? And no, Kaapo Kähkönen came in just like he did last year and steadied the boat, you know, for the Wild. He was extremely calm in between the pipes, you know, seemed to get more and more confident over the past couple of weeks. And I think he's something like 8-1-2 in his last, like, 10, you know, 11 starts. He's been phenomenal. And, you know, you look at certain parts of every season as, you know, defining moments. You're going to look back on this one if the Wild are a playoff team, you know, come April, May, and you're going to remember what Kaapo Kähkönen did when he was the only goalie available. Last night he was great again against the Blackhawks. He'll go again tonight in a back-to-back. I would think Cam Talbot should be ready by Monday for Montreal, but that's not confirmed yet. I think he's going to back up tonight. We'll talk to Dean Evason here in about 15 minutes. But, yeah, you can't say enough good words about Kaapo Kähkönen. He's been awesome. Just really, 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 you know, rose to the occasion when the Wild needed him most.
Yeah, and appears to be clearly the goaltender of the future with Cam Talbot being the veteran that, you know, he's still a relatively young guy as elite NHL goaltenders go. It takes time. There aren't a lot of real young kids that dominate and play 60 games in the NHL. You need to grow into that job.
Yeah, that's spot on. I mean, he's someone, I'm not sure how the Wild felt. You know, I know they're confident in Kaapo, but I wasn't sure entering this year how they felt about him being, you know, part of that goaltending future. And I would say after the stretch, he's continued to pour forth. And, you know, every time he proves it, every single time you need him, he steps up. Yes, I think you're right. I would confidently say Kaapo Kähkönen is going to be a part of this goaltending future for the Wild.
Well, I know you're getting ready to cover the game tonight to close out a hockey day, 2022, Minnesota and Chicago. It'll be an 8 o'clock start in St. Paul. Dane, good to visit with you, and I enjoy your chats with Henry Lake as well.
Yeah, it's all. Love talking to you both. Anytime you need me.
All right, there he is, Dane Mizutani of the Pioneer Press, online at TwinCities.com. And we'll join Late Night with Henry Monday through Friday. I'll be out doing a game and then hop in the car, maybe get a bite to eat. Well, for sure get a bite to eat after the game. And then my drive home, Dane will check in with Henry on Late Night. here on CCO and makes that drive home enjoyable. 13 minutes down front of 6 here at News Talk. 830-WCCO. Cincinnati leading Tennessee 16-9 late third in that first divisional playoff game. Big weekend in the NFL playoffs tonight in Green Bay. San Francisco at Green Bay to take on the Packers. Packers, of course, the number one seed. They are 5.5-point favorites. The over-under, 47.5. Once again, I'm not a Packer hater. I'm not. Never have been. And I think anybody who's listened for any period of time would know that. I just think the 49ers are going to win it straight up tonight. But could be wrong. Tomorrow, the early game at 2 o'clock, the L.A. Rams, Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Bucks favored by 3. Beat up offensive line in front of Tom Brady. I still think they get it done. They will find a way. And then great game tomorrow afternoon, 5:30 our time. The Buffalo Bills and Kansas City Chiefs. And the winners meet a week from tomorrow in the AFC and NFC championship games. And then it's on to the Super Bowl. And they're going to be out in L.A. at SoFi this year, that $6 billion facility in Inglewood, California. A great win for the Golden Gophers earlier today at the Barn. Only 7,000 showed up. But Minnesota found a way to beat Rutgers. 68-65 was the final in that one. We visited with Andy Greeter earlier in the program about that victory today. And this is a team that I think people who are paying attention have fallen in love with. You know, Ben Johnson put together a coaching staff and a team quickly, and it has at times really surprised. The win at Michigan, the win today, sure, they've struggled. They're only 2-5 in the Big Ten. I'm not going to call them NCAA tournament or Big Ten title contenders. But what they have been able to do in short order and be competitive most nights is pretty impressive. And sure, there have been some ugly losses. The game to Illinois certainly stands out as being a pretty ugly defeat. But today was a lot of fun as they get it done down the stretch. Peyton Willis, what a game. 32 points, more than double his season average. Great story today at Williams Arena. And I want to thank some people for all their help on the program, including Doug Swinhart. Tech Talk leads us off between 2 and 3 every Saturday. Always good to visit with Doug. And, of course, Kerry Klatt, the producer, keeps the program out of the ditch and does such a great job behind the scenes. Matthew Collar from Purple Insider. Looks like the Vikings are closing in on a general manager. Could happen as soon as this week. I already mentioned Andy Greeter covers the Golden Gophers and Minnesota United FC for the Pioneer Press, and he's back from his honeymoon in Spain. Steve Carney took us outdoors. The bite's still really good all around the state. If you can safely get out there, the snowpack, ice conditions are a challenge, but it was impressive. Kevin Lynch, Timberwolves analyst for Valley Sports North, joined us. Timberwolves get a split on the road. They split in. They win in New York. Cat a big three-point play. And then they lost their composure a little bit, getting beat by Atlanta the next night. And now they come home and get the Brooklyn Nets without Kevin Durant on Sunday night. This is an opportunity. They are the Western Conference leaders right now. One of their big stars is out of the lineup. This is a game where the Minnesota Timberwolves need to step up and get it done. And get a win in front of the home fans tomorrow night against a legitimate NBA title contender. And we'll be on the air at 6:30 with Gal Soderquist, Alan Horton. We'll have all the play-by-play here on the home of the Timberwolves. Also a big thanks to Scott Miller, covers Major League Baseball, and he has the latest on the lockout. They are going to get together. They are going to talk. I love his idea. Get him in a room, lock the door, get it done. Get spring training going on time. The fans need that countdown to pitchers and catchers. Fans need spring training, particularly here in the North. We want that. We certainly want spring training in the season to start on time. And then, of course, a moment ago, Dane Mizutani covers the Wild for the Pioneer Press. The Wild close it out at home to close out Hockey Day 2022 against the Chicago Blackhawks. They dominated in a 5-1 victory last night. They'll drop the puck just after 8 in St. Paul tonight. So those are the sports headlines here at News Talk, E3O, WCCO. Circle back around to the weather at the moment. We have light snow and 9 degrees here in the Twin Cities. An inch or two before it winds down. And the very latest is, and as I look at the radar picture, they're certainly right on track, that the snow should taper off by maybe 10 o'clock tonight. So if you're super motivated, you could go out at 10 o'clock on a Saturday night and shovel snow. I'm probably not going to be that guy who goes out there. If I do clean up the snow, it'll be in the morning because we're going to get more again tomorrow night. So it could be one of those shovel Saturday morning, shovel Sunday morning, shovel Monday morning deals here in Minnesota. But the light snow continues around the area, and it looks like it'll wind down a little bit later on tonight. Maybe 1 to 2. Otherwise, we'll bottom out at 6 below. Wind chills as low as 14 below tonight. And then on Sunday, a chance of flurries after 5 o'clock. We'll see some sun. Clouds will thicken up again. We'll see a high around 11. Wind chill readings in the teens below zero. And then Sunday night, more snow. 1 to 2 the way it looks here in the Twin Cities. But temps will rise into the upper teens during the snow. And then on Monday, that snow will end in the morning for most folks. Otherwise, cloudy. And those temps will then fall off into the low teens later in the day. Monday night, bitter cold, 11 below. Tuesday, only 2 above. And then on Wednesday, we'll top out at 18. So things looking up later in the week with highs in the 20s. All right, that just about does it here on a Saturday at News Talk 830 WCCO. Friendly reminder, though, more sports coverage tomorrow morning. The Huddle, Mike Max, Pete Najarian between 10 and noon. And then I will be back following the Timberwolves and Nets on a Sunday night right here at News Talk, E3O WCCO. Thanks again, Kerry Klatt, our producer. In the newsroom, Al Schock. My name is Steve Thompson. Have a great Saturday night from all of us here. News Talk, E3O WCCO.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.